get ready to sit back, relax, and open your mind. Welcome to Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Volume 18 of Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. This is the truly, truly philosophic part of Dudes and Beer. I mean, you know, we get into a lot of deep stuff on the show itself. You know, we get into a lot of people's passions, why people do things, stuff like that, why artists are artists, why creators are creators, but Thinking Deeply in specific is my chance to take some of these topics and literally just go crazy with them. You know, just literally put my hands deep inside the putty that is life and the brain and the soul and how we interact with the world around us, and literally just delve into it, think about it. You know, these are things that have popped up in my mind. These are questions that have popped up over time, either from myself or people that I know who have come to me for advice, or just asking about things in general, just general conversation. And it's something that I'm like, hey, this is interesting. I think people need to hear about it. So I talk about it, and that's what Thinking Deeply is. So tonight, we're actually going to be talking about, the topic for us tonight is appreciating the talents and gifts you have in life. Because believe it or not, we were all imbued with talents, gifts. We're all given gifts regularly, whether we realize it or not. And the trick is to learn to realize it. How do you learn to see these things? How do you learn to recognize the gift when it's given to you? And not only recognize it, but make sure that you are respecting it, and make sure that you are actively putting that out there and telling the universe thank you for everything that it does for you. So as we discuss that, we will get into all kinds of crazy stuff. So all that and more whenever we get back from this message from our sponsor.
Have you ever thought about brewing your own beer? Is the urge to brew there, but you just don't know how to get started? Well, Dudes and Beer is here to help. Stop on by the new Dudes and Beer Amazon store and check out all the great brewing supplies and gear today. We have it all, from instructional books and do-it-yourself kits for beginners to 16-gallon cooking vessels, carboys, bottling supplies, and cleaners for all you homebrew pros out there. Everything you need to brew your favorite beverages, even distilling equipment. So stop on by the official Dudes and Beer store today and get your hand on the greatest new brewing essentials. Simply visit dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab. Once again, that website is dudesandbeer.com, and click the Dudes and Beer store tab today. Happy brewing, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.
And we are back. And thinking of drinking responsibly, I am being responsible in my hotel room right now. Just got done with a really long day of work, and yesterday had the presence of mind whenever I got here and had some time. I was like, you know what? I'm going to find me the liquor store, and I'm going to go out and buy me some local beer. And being a huge fan of Edgar Allan Poe as I am, and him being from up around the area, I got myself into some Poe beers by Raven Brewing. I got Raven Special Lager, which is absolutely tasty. Tonight, however, I have broken into the Telltale Heart IPA, and it is delicious. It's very light and luscious, very velvety, so congratulations, Baltimore. You have yourself a hell of a beer here. Loose Cannon IPA also. That was recommended to me by somebody in the Austin Beer Group, Austin Beer Maniacs. I posted an image of the beer, and they were like, hey, while you're there, try this. And I did, you know. And that's one of those things, you know, it was a gift. An utterly random person told me to check something out, and I did, and it made my day. And that's a gift, you know, as small as it may be. The real question comes to bear, I guess, before we get into that being a gift, is what do we consider a talent? What do we consider a gift? Myself, I consider talents something that we as people have a knack at. You know, there are some people that you sit down in front of a piano and you can give them lessons for years and they can plunk out a couple tunes. There are some people that you sit down in front of a piano and give them the same number of lessons and they blow everything out of the water. That's a talent. That's a talent. That's a gift at the same time. You have been gifted with this skill. And talents, I really believe, are something that you have to work on. You have to work on talents. You know, like I had talent with a yo-yo. I was pretty good at one. I figured it out pretty quick. But it took me a long time of practice and practice and practice to be able to actively do like trick after trick after trick and have the yo-yo return to me and have it not get tangled up and stuff like that. So same thing with guitar, same thing with piano. You can have a gift for piano, but you know, are you necessarily talented at it? No, not necessarily. You know, talent, I think, comes from a gift. It's something that we innately have with us. Some people are talented, some people have other talents, you know, like myself. I can do great digital art. I can do fantastic things with video and Photoshop and stuff like that. You give me a pen and a piece of paper, I may as well stick my tongue out and be drawn with a crayon, ladies and gentlemen. I do not have that kind of fine motor skill. I just don't. I just don't. And that was told to my mother when I was very, very young. And I experienced it my whole life. I remember actually having an art teacher in seventh grade, Miss DePew. Miss DePew. I'll call her out because probably by now she is long past. Unfortunately, she was actually a great teacher, but one of those, you know, that just like she was a true artist. She's just going to tell you what's on her mind. She didn't give a damn. It was the late 80s, you know, and teachers were allowed to do that. And she definitely did. And she pulled my mom aside. Like, whenever we sewed things, that was pretty good. You know, like, that kind of tactile function, I'm okay with. You put me in a wood shop, I'm okay. You know, get me using hand tools, I'm okay. But you put a brush in my hand, or you put a pencil and paper in my hand and ask me to draw a horse, yeah, it's going to look horrible. It's going to look really, really bad. I remember the guy that I build pedals for in Austin, Screaming Effects. I build pedals for him, Seth Wilkes. Shout out to Seth if you're listening, bro. But his son is frequently in the room, like, while I'm assembling pedals and stuff like that. And he's drawing with his dad, and he comes up to me, and he's like, hey, draw a dolphin. And I'm like, oh, buddy, I don't know if you want me to draw a dolphin. And he's like, no, draw a dolphin, draw a dolphin. And I drew it. And Seth was like, oh, wow, yeah, that's not a dolphin. I was like, no, it's not. It's really like a hot dog with a dorsal fin is what it looks like. You know, it looks like, I don't have that in me. But I do have other talents that are akin to that, you see. If I see something in my head, I may not be able to, like, my drawing of it. Prime example is my son's bassinet. Dalbus's bassinet was made by Billy Stewart, best friend for half my life now. And he literally, I was busy at work one day and had some time, and I was like, you know what? I'd really, really like a nice, like, rocking cradle for my baby, you know, just like an old school rocking bassinet. So I whipped up these, you know, very crude diagrams, and I sent them to Billy, and he was like, hey, bro, you know, your stuff's like not fully to scale. And I was like, hey, do whatever you need to do with it. I know you're the artist, but you know what I'm talking about here. Like, I could build this if I needed to, if I had the tools and the shop and the wood and everything else, but you are far better at it than I am, and definitely are much more skilled because of your level of practice, you know. But it's literally one of those, if I see it in my head, I can normally come pretty close. You know, like if I see something in my head, I can come pretty close to building it or making it happen. And I'm happy with that. I'm good with that. Since I was a kid, one of the talents that I had was inventing, literally coming up with new things, coming up with new ways to use things, stuff like that. And frequently when I was a child, my inventions did not work. They did not. They were a crazy pipe dream, you know. They had something wild going on inside of them, but they didn't necessarily work all the time. And I was okay with that. I wasn't discouraged by that. Hey, you know, I knew history. Thomas Edison, like, built 200 light bulbs before one stayed on for more than 10 seconds, you know. So, or rather, the people in his shop did. and then he had the patent on it. Pardon me as I sip my beverage, but for me, talents are something that everybody has a talent. You know, for somebody to say that they don't have a talent, man, like skipping rope's a talent. You know, and it's literally something that you have to consider giving with, because talents are no good if they are held unto yourself. It's kind of like being a talented singer. If you just sing in the shower, that's great. But what are you really doing to get your talent out there? What are you really doing to share your talent with other people? Because some people have the same talent that you do, you know? My grandmother was an incredibly talented person with crocheting. And I wish to God I'd have learned it. I know that my cousin tried to learn it at one point, but she taught a couple few people, in her life and shared that and passed it on, you know, because it's a talent and a skill that, is not easily attained, you know, and it's something that if you have somebody to show you, it's so much easier, you know, and when you have somebody showing you the way, it is easier. Today was a prime example at work, actually, because I had some locals, and it was quite obvious, about 20, 30 minutes in, that I had a lot of green locals. I had a lot of new people. I had a lot of people that were just learning things. I asked somebody if they could go over and take this video adapter and attach it to this and do that. They kind of went over, and for about 10 minutes, they were looking at stuff, and I walked over and put my hand on their shoulder, and I was like, hey, you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? No, I don't. I was like, okay, that's perfectly all right. That's okay for you to say, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about. Do you mind coming and showing me? Because that's how you learn. That's how you learn. And, I went over, I showed them, I asked everybody. I was like, hey, does everybody know what I'm talking about? And like two of them were like, no, not really. I was like, all right. Hop over here real quick. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, because we're going to have to wash, rinse, repeat on the other side of the room, and I'm going to need one of you guys to be able to do this. And now that you know it, you'll know it from here forward, and you can get more jobs, you can get better jobs, and it makes you into a better technician to know more skills and have more skills at your fingertips. And it's just, it's really funny to me how people, especially in my industry, try to keep things to themselves. You know, like there are a lot of people that wouldn't tell somebody that because they're afraid that they're going to come take their job. I'm not afraid somebody's going to take my job. I want to lift somebody up and help them get a job. You know, that's how I look at it, is that my talents are here. Somebody helped mold my talent. Somebody saw my level of potential and said, hey, this kid needs to learn some more. So they taught me more. Whenever there was time in the day, they'd be like, hey, man, come here. Let me show you this. As I hook this up, that way next time we have to do it, you know how to do it. And it's one more thing that you know how to do. So that was a gift to me. Somebody gifted their talent and their time to me. And that's invaluable. That's invaluable. And for me not to pay that forward, for me not to share my talents and my gifts with other people, for me not to gift my talents to other people who are coming up in the industry, to me, makes me a worse engineer. And makes me somebody that doesn't care a hoot about the world around him unless it's me, you know? And I just can't do that. I just can't do that. I was literally, one of the things that prompted this episode was, I don't watch a lot of cable television, folks. I don't have cable. You know, I do a lot of internet watching. I do a lot of broadcast TV watching. I do a lot of internet watching. But I was watching Discovery Channel, and they were doing Alone, you know, Naked and Alone, where they dropped two groups of people off. And one of the people in this group, they happened to all run up against each other at this waterfall. You know, one of them found it from the top, the other group found it from the bottom, and they teamed up for a day or so. And this one guy had been having problems with his partner where, you know, like he would go out and forage for food and he'd be like, hey, why don't you work on the shelter? Okay. And she wouldn't do anything. And he's like, what do you understand that, like, you're... I don't know why you're so upset. There's like 15 hours in the day over here, and we got plenty of time to work on the shelter. And it's like, no, you don't necessarily have 15 hours, man. Like, you're out in the tropics. You could have a storm come across any time. You need shelter. You need fire. You need food. And you need company. These are the four things that are essential for survival, folks. And without shelter, without fire, without shelter, especially in the tropics, you probably ain't going to have fire, because you're either going to be drenched or have crazy winds because you're out on an island. And whenever they met up with these other two people, literally, like, the lady in the group went to the other lady and was like, hey man, like, why don't you do something? Like, you are not contributing here at all. I have all these talents. You say you have all these talents. You say you have all these skills, but nobody has seen them manifest. Nobody has seen you do anything with them, if they do exist. So, yeah, it really got me to thinking, like, how many times have I been like that? How many times have I, and you know, granted, it used to happen a lot more when I was younger. It doesn't happen so much more now that I'm older. A little bit wiser and a little bit more willing to put myself out there and do things, you know. But it used to happen frequently when I was younger that I would just, even though I could help, I didn't. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to be a part of that. I didn't want to be over there with that situation, man, and be involved with that. Now I can't not be involved. You know, I can't not do something about the situation. A prime example is, yeah, I am basic aid trained. I know how to sling somebody. I know how to stop major bleeding, all that kind of stuff. And my wife and I were on the way home one time at like 5 a.m. She was driving me back from Austin for a gig in Houston at a church that I worked at. And it was literally daylight breaking. And as we rounded this hill coming into Bastrop from Austin to Houston on 71, this car in front of us just kind of started dipping to the left, you know, like by half a car length. And I was like, hey, baby, you know, like, back up a little bit. This guy seems like he's been drinking or something. Let's see if he gets off at the next exit. If not, then let's pass him. And we went for about another mile, and he was dipping and dipping, and then all of a sudden the car just veered off to the left, hit the embankment, which, you know, it was open embankment. It was just a big ravine in between the two sides of the highway there at that point. There weren't even street lights on the highway there at that point yet. That's all new. Had there been, those dudes would have been dead, because they went off the road, and as they did, the front of their car tilted down because of the angle, and that thing just went end over end, like four or five times. I was like, oh, sweet baby Jesus, stop the car. And before the car was even stopped, I was literally like foot out the door with 911 on the phone. you know, giving them our location, telling them what direction we were headed, telling them the description of the car. There are two guys in it. You know, they're getting out right now. And like, these guys ended up taking off. Like, it was crazy. You know, I told the police whenever they showed up what direction they headed in and when they left and what the driver's what the license plate was. And they ended up finding them. We found out from the cops that were there taking our statements. We heard on the radio that they found them and were taking them to the hospital because one of them had a bone sticking out of his shoulder. And it was like, good God, you know. But that to this day is one of my wife's favorite stories as to why she decided to date me, like, seriously. She was like, you know, despite anything, if something went down, Chris would be in the thick of it. Chris would be right there trying to help solve the problem and trying to do his best to help other people other than himself. And that, you know, it's not any kind of heroic thing. It's something that is worked on, you know. I had those skills for basic aid and basic training. I had people that taught me to think of others other than myself. It just took a long time for me to get to the point where I was comfortable going out and doing that. And hey, there's co-host Stephen Bishop chilling out. how you doing, my man? We are talking about talents and gifts, Stephen. And, you know, Stephen's actually one of those people that I'm working on right now. I'm trying to help him out with some video stuff and learn him up and get him up on some tech and stuff like that so that, you know, he can better himself and start doing some projects that he wants to do. And those are skills that I have. Those are skills that somebody taught me. Like I said, why would I not pass them on? My son Dalbus, prime example. Like, hey, I intend by the fact he's 5 years old. I will be teaching him how to solder. You know, I will be teaching him the basics of electronic principles, and just everything that I can possibly teach him. If he chooses not to be a technician in his life, not to follow the route of pop and be like, you know, an audiovisual technician, that's cool. But I guarantee you, by the time he's out of high school, he's going to know what every one of those cables do. He's going to know, he will, at the very least, be able to go out and get a job doing it, whether or not he wants to follow it for the rest of his life. Because I refuse to just surrender my child to the education system and flip a coin as to what's going to happen. I was raised with the concept from my grandfather of having skills. Even my dad, you know, he didn't have so much the moral teaching so much. Thank you so much for chiming in, Steve. And I'm sure that these things will help Dalbus someday because they help me, you know. And my dad, I got my work ethic from my dad. You know, I got my concept of ethics from my mom and my mom's family, things like that. And a few members of my father's, but, you know, my dad definitely taught me skills with tools, you know, like he taught me like, hey, come over this Saturday, we need to put a toilet in. So, you know, we plumbed a toilet, you know, like went underneath the house and hacked the old pipes away and put in new pipes. And, you know, just the other day I installed my dishwasher, you know, stuff like that. And it was you know, my mother-in-law was like, wow, he knows how to install a dishwasher. Oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, next is the you know, the broken garbage disposal, you know. And it's things that, you know, my dad made sure that I had some skills. He made sure that I knew how to turn a wrench, that I knew how to swing a hammer, that I knew how to use a drill. And it's just the concept, like I said in that survival show, of preparing yourself. And when you're not prepared, those around you tend to suffer. You're right. My wife Amy from the Yes But Why podcast, Amy Jordan, just chimed in on the chat window saying, "My dad taught me Karate Kid style," and that's absolutely true. I I weeded the garden, and he went out and played a round of golf, just like Mr. Miyagi. Hey, you know, you didn't tell me you were going fishing. Well, that's because I went fishing before you got here. But good thing you got all that shit done that you needed to do, right? and it's literally, to me, like that survival show that I'm talking about where, you know, these people depended on this girl to assemble part of the shelter while they were gone. At one point, it was literally keep the fire going. That's all you have to do. Keep the fire going. And they came back 5 hours later after going out and foraging. One of them was finding parts for the raft. Another one was out finding food, stuff like that. And when they came back, the fire was almost dead and she was sound asleep. It's not an incredible talent to feed a fire, man. All you got to do is put fuel on top of it. And you know, it's one of those, like, why would you, just because of your own laziness, why would you just because of your own selfishness not make sure that those around you were taken care of? To the best of your ability, anyway. You know, I guess it's that Boy Scout mentality of leave it better than you found it. You know, whenever you come in and stay at somebody's house, don't leave the place a wreck whenever you leave, you know. Like, be a good guest. Be a good host. Be a good person. It's like today, I could have jumped on people all day long, and I've seen people do it, like start belittling people because they don't know this about that. You know, and it's like, hey, man, we're all at different levels. We're all at different levels. I happened to get, out of four people, I got three people that were brand new at it and knew how to roll a cable. So it took a little bit longer to get my room ready. You know, it took them a couple times to get the screens together because they were two different sizes originally. You know, they assembled them differently without talking to each other. Stuff like that. And it's little things. It's stuff like that that keeps us from progressing in life. It's stuff like that that keeps us from progressing as people because we have chosen to literally put ourselves in a self-feeding circle. We have chosen to put ourselves in that self-perpetual state of motion that only revolves around us and never includes anybody else in the orbit, you know? Unfortunately, there is no stellar body unto itself. There's always a twin. There's always something nearby that is influencing, you know, and even a black hole has things influencing it. You really do have to start to think about, are you trying to leave the world a better place than you found it? Are you trying to leave people better than you found them? You know? And you don't have to go extremely out of your way, you know? You don't have to spend like 8 hours a week teaching somebody something, for crying out loud. But if somebody needs help and you know how to help them, man. Help them. Help them. It's not that hard. Normally it doesn't take that long, you know? I don't know. I think that in today's society, we have been taught to hide our talents. We've been taught to hide our skills, to lay low, to take as little accountability as possible, and to be as not involved as possible. You know, that mentality of, oh, don't worry about it. Batman will take care of it. You know, well, hey, man, Batman may not live in your city. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there are things that we can all take care of. There are things that we can all stop. There are things that we can all make a difference in. And I think our talents and our skills and our gifts are so important to that. And we really do have to recognize when somebody has gifted us something. You know, when somebody has gifted us a piece of knowledge, when somebody has passed something on to us, and realize that makes our life easier. And we have to be willing to re-gift that. You know, like, that's the best re-gift in the world, folks. It's, I mean, you know, that's the original re-gift, quite honestly. Beyond, like, hey, yeah, I didn't like this present, so I'll keep it for next Christmas and bring it to a house party, you know, for a white elephant. No, no, that's not a regift. A regift is you actually taking something, a thought form, a talent, a skill that you've been given, and paying it forward and teaching it to somebody else, exposing somebody else to that concept, and making their life richer for it, just like your life became richer. And that's what's important. That's what's important, is making sure that we learn to recognize those moments, making sure that we are open, like chakra open, you know what I mean? Like feeling for that little tug that we've talked about in the belly before. And it's undeniable when it happens. When it happens, you'll know it, because like it literally feels like somebody pulling a string at your belly button. It's absolutely phenomenal, and you will never ever find another feeling like that. And once you do, it's almost addictive, and you want it more. Helping people becomes addictive. Being selfless eventually becomes addicted. You know, like, and I can attest to it with my brother's retreat company. You know, anytime I get to go on retreat, it's one of those like, man, you know, just being there, seeing those kids experience something, being a part of that is something so beautiful. And the sharing of talents, the sharing of gifts, and the encouraging of the recognition of gifts and talents is what we need in this world. It's what we need in this world. We don't laud each other nearly enough. Unfortunately, we live in a very sarcastic society, and a sarcastic society doesn't build people up. It's more interested in making a joke by tearing somebody down. And we really have to fight that, y'all. That, as we've said before, that's the low-hanging comedic fruit, you know? And if you watch enough documentaries and see what happens to the monkeys who eat the low-hanging fruit that's overripe, and ready to fall on the ground, like, sure, they get drunk and they enjoy it. Hey, who doesn't like a good smart-ass schmammer joke, you know, picking on somebody? Of course, we all do. But is it necessary? Is it necessary? Does it further us? Does it further the conversation? Does it make us better people? Does it make us realize a depth to ourselves or the world around us? Typically not. Typically not. On occasion, you'll have that person that's like, oh my God, I went to go see this comedian the other night, and all he did was rip on the audience, and that was awful. It was horrible. Worst comedic experience I've ever had. And I've heard that from a few people, you know, because they go there and they expect something a little bit better. You know, they expect some intelligent comedy, and I don't know. Unfortunately, our world doesn't laud that much anymore, I think. And we need to change that. We need to say, I'm not going to do that. That's our decision. And that's where the concept of gifts and talents comes in. How do we use our gifts and talents to change that aspect of the world? How do we use our gifts and talents to bless other people, to be a blessing to the world around us? And I'm not even talking about being a blessing in like the Jesus Christ sense, folks. I'm very rarely talking about a Catholic or Christian sense of things. I'm talking more of a broad concept, you know, like we've said before, blessings and gifts come all the time. Are you willing to realize them? Are you willing to see them? Are you willing to stop, pause for a moment, and acknowledge the fact that something from outside of you just influenced your life and just changed it for the better? And we need to be ready to do that. We need to be ready to acknowledge our gifts. We need to be ready to nurture our gifts. We need to be ready to pass our gifts and talents on to other people. And that's just where I stand on it. You know, like I said, this episode just popped up. It's pretty rare that Thinking Deeply goes live on the air, but I was here, I was walking home today and just thinking about that, and thinking about the episode that I saw last night that just cracked me up all day, where it was like, oh my God, here is this person literally sinking three other people with them because they refuse to let their gifts shine, because they refuse to get up and get after it, you know? They'd much rather let three other people fail with them than to get up and do something about it. And that's a concept that I think is all too prevalent in our world today. And we all need to get over that. We all need to get over that. We all need to move past that, be better people, and actively reach out to each other, actively build each other up. When you see somebody's talent, acknowledge it, nurture it. Nurture it in that person. Encourage that person to keep up with it. Even if they're like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. Hey, man, you're really, really good at that. You should keep doing that. And that's so important because that's what changes people's lives. That's what gives people the catalyst to move forward in a passion, to try to make a passion into a life, you know, and that's world-changing. That's paradigm-shaking, folks, is what that is. That's how we change the world, is building each other up, not tearing each other down, whether it's politically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's psychologically, you know. It doesn't really matter. The fact is we need to gift each other with our talents, and we need to help each other nurture and recognize our talents and our gifts so that we are thankful, so that we do want to pay it forward, so that we do want to make other people realize, hey, look, I had a crappy life at one point too, but then I learned to realize all these gifts that I was given and all these talents that I had. And if you look, you may have some talents and gifts too. I guarantee you, you do. You have to look at it from a different angle. You know, you have to look at it from a less egocentric point of view and see it from how the world sees it, you know, and that's where it comes from. That's where it comes from, is the fact of literally sharing ourselves and being willing to share ourselves. And, you know, once you're willing to share yourself, you really, really do begin to change things. You really, really do begin to craft your own world and craft the way that things are in the world. So that's it for this volume of Thinking Deeply. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Chris Jordan, your host. Until next time, everybody, take care of each other. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Tune in next time for more deep introspection, contemplative thought, and general musings on humanity and life, right here on Thinking Deeply with Dudes and Beer. Like what you heard? Feel free to tune into the other content by Dudes and Beer on dudesandbeer.com. Our content is also available on the Spreaker Market, as well as SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, and your favorite podcast app. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.